can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice.
Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscience, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. I am Michael Eric Owen.
And I am back. It's DT, y'all.
I had to go get him. So he said he's back. But I actually had to go track him down, put him in my car. I had to give him a little special mix to calm him down, just to get him back in the studio with me. But DT, man, you were missed last time, man. I'm so happy that you are back in the studio where you belong.
You know what? I got a chance to listen to the last episode in my absence. And I have to say that I think that me not being here sometimes is like a therapy for you, you know, because when I'm here, like, it's like the yin and the yang. We get to balance each other out. You know, you kind of coming at them full force, and I get to be like, Mike, hold on, you know. But when I'm not here, it's just, it's all go. Like, right. I can hear Richard maybe trying to, you know, soothe you just a little bit, but it wouldn't work.
Trying to bring me back down.
But you did a great job, and I like I said, I miss being here.
No doubt.
I was off doing all those crazy and cool things that you said I might be on the last episode, but man, I'm glad to be back in the studio, and we have somebody with us.
We have somebody with us, and I'm so excited.
You're not excited.
Listen, man, I am excited. We've been waiting on this for a while, right? We've been talking. We need some theme music or something, you know, going on here. Some applause in the background. But we have in the studio with us the artist, and I mean a true artist. Not just an artist, but a social activist, someone that has, I think, extremely impressed me, number one, with how she sees the world, her passion, her intellect, her desire to see our world change for the better. Folks, in One Mic, One Voice, Black in Studio, we have Jamie Pettis.
Welcome, Jamie.
Yay. Is that funny that I'm here?
But no. Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show.
Thank you for having me again. It's good to be on location.
Oh, man.
On site.
We've had you call in a couple times.
Which was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Which was great, man. We had a lot of great feedback from those shows. People were very encouraged by the things that you said. And so, just kind of tell us, because me and DT and Richard, we had an opportunity to be involved in the event that you came down here and
put on. Got a VIP request.
And the event was just amazing. So talk a little bit about that and what you've been up to since the last time we've seen each other.
Well, let's see here. Again, it's good to be back here or on site this time, be back on the show. So Backfire Cultural Explosion, the event that you guys were a part of, and thank you for coming again, by the way, and talk about ways to get involved. I like the general idea of just being involved in social activism, as you discussed on stage. That event initially, I thought of it before the very shocking results of the election. I never in a million years thought Trump would get elected, and so I was had this scheduled over there. Like back in June. And the irony of this is he gets elected. We're all in shock. And I'm like thinking, and I even saw like a few posts from some other local artists here, like this event couldn't have come at a better time. So it was needed then more than ever. And, as Michael said, I'm an artist and I do express a lot of my emotion and feelings and views of the world through my art, and this is going to be a good time to create art, by the way. So I not only show art, but I've over the years have wanted to find ways to, you know, reach people on a bigger scale, and through like social justice and activism and ideas is one of them. And what we did is we brought together various like artists and musicians from, you know, all walks of life, so to speak. We brought in Jack Fowler, who's kind of like a like a folky pop artist around here and is involved in social activism, not afraid to speak his mind. And we had Stephen Paul Judd, who's a Native American pop artist, and he has a huge following, and he makes a lot of social statements through his work. We also had JB, you know, your local hip hop guru here. Everybody knows JB. Yeah. And then we had Jacoby Isham Fresh, Jacoby Isham, aka Fresh, come up and do a music performance, as well as Tom Hudson, who has this show called Soul Time with DJ Tom Hudson. That's what the name he goes by. But the whole thing was bringing everybody together. You know, and I'm a big part of the LGBTQ community. And I do the best I can to speak out in favor of that and just anyone, really. The whole idea with this, and it kind of ties into your show, like, optimistically, you talk, like, we're going to talk about, you know, how can we maintain what we have. The whole idea was to remind everybody that even though this has happened and it's scary and shocking, plenty of people are terrified. I wanted to, like, bring people together to remind them that no, we're not screwed.
Mm-hmm.
There's still so many of us that who Trump does not represent.
Yeah.
Trump does not represent me. He does not represent you. And there's millions of people that Trump does not represent.
Yeah.
So I think that was important. And the whole show is just to celebrate in a bittersweet way, talk about ways you can get involved and, you know, express ideas through music and art. And it, to me, like, I was thinking about this on the way over there. It was kind of like a opening door to what we need to continue to do. We're not alone.
Yeah.
And not everybody hates. Not everybody is a racist. Not everybody's homophobic. Not everybody is in favor of Trump's horrific ideas. So I hope that reached some people and that people don't entirely feel deflated and want to give up, because I still have hope, and I think that if we keep just pushing forward and doing things like this, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right.
Well, I can honestly say it was a dynamic event, you know, and Jamie had her art up all over the place, which, again, I mean, you know, where can people check your art out, man? Because I'm like, your art, man, you are a very talented artist, and I think people need to be exposed to the work that you're doing. Where can they find your art at?
You can find me a few places. Okay, jamie@pettisart.com. Oh, that website honestly needs to be updated a little bit. I go under the name Brazen Wolf Art and Apparel. Mm-hmm. That's my brand name.
Where'd the name come from?
Brazen Wolf? All right. Well,
is it the eyes?
Don't get nobody in trouble now.
Is it the eyes?
Is it my eyes? Oh, yeah. It's my wolfy eyes. Yeah, it's all about me. You know? All right. Moving on. So Brazen is bold, right? Like, and the wolf is... I don't really mean this when I say this. I know a lot of people say this. Wolf is truly my spirit animal for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. I could go on and on. Mm-hmm. For, you know, territorial reasons and running with a pack and, you know, being one of many in the pack and sticking together. And the tagline actually for my art and apparel brand is shameless territory, shameless wear. And okay. it's let's just put it this way. It's like, always do you. Mm-hmm. No matter who you are, and embrace that. And in the bigger picture, we should all embrace that about each other.
Yeah.
And so
I love it.
Yeah. My work and my color schemes actually speaks volumes of that. And, you know, putting it on apparel and like wear it without shame. Like that's how I kind of all like.
David, the kids say keep it 100.
Do what?
I said the kids say keep it 100.
Keep it 100? Oh, yeah. Man. I've got some 20-somethings in my life trying to teach me the lingo, and I'm like, I can't catch up.
But you know
up.
What? I thought Jamie's going to come through with some T-shirts or something, man. I mean, with the brazen, you know. Yeah,
like so the one that she's wearing right now.
So, is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you.
He wants some free T-shirts.
So, yeah, so we – no, I'll pay – will I pay Richard? Richard will tell you. I will pay. I believe in supporting artists. So, but, yeah, no, we – I want to represent what you're doing, definitely. So we need to talk.
I'm just gonna give you some shirts because I want to.
All right.
No, that's a beautiful thing. How do we survive under a Trump administration, folks? That's what we're gonna be dealing with all, I shouldn't say, I almost said all evening long. Some folks gonna get off their computer
right now. I was like, I don't want to hear anymore.
No, for this show, because we're looking at, as the title says, the next 4 years. At this point, it is not about progressing as a people. That's black, white, Asian, Hispanic, doesn't matter. It's not about progressing as a people. It's about maintaining what we have achieved. Folks, we're going to take a break. Hang with us. We will be right back.
What's up, guys? I am Leah Marie, owner of The Selfie Gods. Make sure you head over to our website, www.theselfiegods.com, and order your very own selfie moon. If you need that good lighting whenever you out in the club or you out hanging out with your friends and you need some more light for your selfies, that's definitely what you want to get, the selfie moon.
Hi, this is Tiffany Hill, host of Authentic Conversations, a weekly motivational podcast where we discuss matters such as self-worth, relationships, parenting, professional development, physical, emotional, and spiritual health. You can find me on Facebook at Authentic Conversations by Tiffany Hill, on social media at @TH_authentic, and you can also subscribe to Authentic Conversations on iTunes and Podbean, and the show is also available on blackinstudios.com. I look forward to connecting with you, and remember, to live authentically is the ultimate form of happiness.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show, building the collective conscious. Man, I'm looking over at DT. DT just smiling, man.
Man, I'm happy to be here, man.
Man, we got Jamie in the studio with us, man. Not long distance, she is here. Yeah. Folks, we're going to dive right into our topic. We know there is anxiety. If you're like me, I don't know, Jamie, if you like me, every time I hear something about the Trump administration, I'm troubled. I'm just going to be nothing about it brings me a sense of comfort. It causes anxiety with the picks that he's, you know, the people he's choosing for his administration. I'm like, this is not going to be good. Folks, we want you to sit back. Listen to this audio that we have. We're going to come back and we're going to dive right in.
It's easy to look at Donald Trump and think, oh God, this guy is nuts, or oh God, he's going to make America white again. But here's a radical thought. Maybe all of that, all the focus on what President Trump could do is a bit of a distraction, maybe a big distraction. If we're afraid that a Trump presidency means that rights and freedoms enjoyed by Americans will be disrupted and that hate will reign, well, we don't really have to wait for Trump for that to happen. Take, for example, how in December 2015, the U.S. Senate voted in favor of defunding Planned Parenthood just a week after Robert Louis Deere shot up a Colorado Springs clinic, leaving 3 people dead and 9 injured. Now, President Obama has said that he'll veto the bill, which is great, but the issue is about so much more than funding. The opposition to a women's health organization is that it provides, amongst other things, safe and accessible abortions. And as a reminder, abortion is legal in the United States. Women have been granted the right to choose for themselves what's best for their reproductive health. And while we may not consider the issue of Planned Parenthood as something that affects all American women, it does often affect the lives and decisions of some of the country's most vulnerable and underprivileged women. And speaking of the underprivileged, there are all the deportations. Trump, early in his campaign, made what people thought was the wild suggestion of deporting 11 million undocumented immigrants. But under President Obama, there have already been over 2 million of them, more than any number deported under any other president. Now, yes, President Obama in November 2014 issued an executive order which would prevent millions of undocumented immigrants in the country from being deported. But with hundreds of thousands of unaccompanied children and families fleeing violence from Central America, making them potential refugees, home raids, overflowing detention centers, and mass deportations aren't solving any crisis. And we really can't forget that thing called racism that affects millions of Americans on a day-to-day basis. Whether the disproportionate imprisonment of Black and Latino men or the continued racial segregation of schools across the country, racism isn't just a slur. but a lived reality. After all, this is a country where a 12-year-old carrying a replica gun in an open carry state can be gunned down by police within 2 seconds of arriving on the scene and walk away without legal consequence. This is a country where the 12-year-old gets blamed, where a hoodie gets blamed. It's where an unarmed 18-year-old is gunned down by a cop and is called no angel, and a white mass shooter is described as quiet and soft-spoken. And it's a country where a Supreme Court justice can call the Voting Rights Act of 1965 a racial entitlement and suggest that black students are better off in less advanced, lower track schools because classes in competitive schools might be too fast for them. And if you're worried about Muslim Americans under a Trump presidency, well, they've been used to mass surveillance, deportation, entrapment, and collective suspicion, amongst other things, for over 15 years. The hypotheticals that a Trump presidency could bring are definitely worrying. And so are the realities that millions in this country have been living with for decades.
Well, that's quite interesting. It almost kind of, you know, foreshadows this level of doom. But in her presentation, she also talks about how this has always been in our country, right? And I think that's something that's a lot of people have a difficulty adjusting. Yeah, we can blame Donald Trump for tapping into, but he had to tap into something, right? So he tapped into this sort of historical racism and bigotry and angst that exists in our country. I mean, the question is, what have we lost with the rise of Trumpism? I mean, I think that's going to be a phrase that we're going to use for the next 4 years. But we when we look at his run to the presidency, this idea of the loss of civility. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in dealing with one another, and Jamie. I mean, you know, Jamie, we see all this. You know, like the guys is being kicked off of Delta Airlines, and we see these people in these grocery stores. Did you see the one with the Latino where the lady just, man, you know, speak English. Right. You're in this country, right?
Common decency, as grandma put it, huh?
It's gone. And what gives a person the right to just overtly, right, attack another person? But somehow it's happened with the rise of Trumpism.
So where's the boldness coming from?
Well, I think it's you have a spokesperson, right? I mean, you have someone that.
Somebody to side with your idea of life, right? A reality.
If the president goes for it, right?
Must be cool. I mean, you know what? That's like the biggest thing to me. Like I work with kids. So like, you know, we talk to kids and the thing that you want to. Implement into kids and try and help kids to create value. You know, there are certain things that you want to try and instill in them or let them know that are important for them to be able to grow and be a functioning and healthy human being. You know, and looking at somebody like Donald Trump and then telling a little kid like, man, you can be the president of the United States. What is the example now that we have somebody like Trump in office saying to that kid that, you know, could potentially be the president? You can be like Trump.
Mm.
I mean, is that the standard? You know, does somebody not set the bar high enough for us to have this example in front of us and now be looking at it like, man, what is the message that we're sending here?
Yeah. I mean, it's a very, very kind of scary message. I mean, when you look at President Obama, you would think.
Do we tell the kids to grab them by the. is that okay?
It's just locker room talk, kids. Everybody's saying it. Everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
Grab them by the.
Yeah. How did you, I mean, you know, from a woman's perspective, how did you cope with all of that, really?
Well, the face that I'm making now, I wish your audience could see it. It's very cringing. It saying stuff like that feels like as a woman you're being touched.
Wow.
It feels like you're being touched. There's a joke, but a serious one that me and my friends have. When stuff like that happens, it feels like you're being slimed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like that visual, that feeling, like, quote unquote, slimed.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember Wild and Crazy Kids.
Do what?
I said, I remember Wild and Crazy Kids. And what it may feel like to get slimed.
Yeah.
It wasn't
yeah.
cool.
Well, cool. It's a little different, but like, right. this is when you're dealing with a grown man, supposed to be a grown man. I think that Trump, what Trump has done, you're talking about civility, Michael, mm-hmm. is given permission to people to bring their racism and bigotry mm-hmm. back out again and to speak, where it's otherwise been kind of hushed. Like, we've been, let's just take the past 8 years, for example. Like, mm-hmm. we've become, I was discussing this with someone earlier, this girl from Philly who you need to have on your show. I'll tell you more about that later.
Love to.
Yeah. But we were discussing earlier, it's like, back to what I was saying, Trump has given people permission to come back out in their bigotry. It's been silenced, well, not completely silenced, but mm-hmm. kind of covered up mm-hmm. for, let's just say, for example, the past 8 years. And mm-hmm. we've become, you know, Democrats, mm-hmm. you know, people like us, people with social justice interests have become the mainstream. Mm-hmm. We have become the mainstream.
Yeah.
And now that you have someone like him coming back out and saying, build a wall and this mm-hmm. and that, he's giving those people who have been kind of hushed
yeah.
the mm-hmm. entitlement to come back out and because blatantly and write swastikas all over the wall. And stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So mm-hmm. that's what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, you make I think all of the pundits agree with you in this idea of these individuals being on the fringe. But, you know, this progressive movement with President Obama being mainstream, but him giving attention, emboldening, speaking for, empowering this fringe group now, and bringing them in his administration, says we're moving in the direction that we need to do. Let's take the country back. That's exactly what we're seeing here. And believe it, and Jamie, I agree with you. I think if we parse the numbers, we will find that we outnumber them. But just yes. like the child that's yes. the most unruly child in the classroom gets all the attention, these crazy people, right? They get all the attention. You know, the Richard Spencers of the world, they get all the attention because we live in this sensationalized culture. Kanye West. Man, we need to do a show.
We're going
to
go on that?
Not even really. You know what I mean? I'm like, right. I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, really, right? that was like a, you know, diversion tactic. But anyway, I agree with you. I think they do have a platform now in Donald Trump. And it's hard for us, those of us who have lived in a quote unquote pluralistic society, to accept the ideas that are coming out of the alt-right, or well, like I would like to call it what it is, the white supremacy movement. It's hard for us to even like those people exist, right. You know, like those people really mm-hmm. believe that. It's hard for us to stomach, but unless we wake up and realize that they are serious, we will never be able to combat what they're trying to do.
I've seen a picture of just like some kids and a family and like the whole KKK uniform. And it's like, the caption said, we want to believe that these people have just all of a sudden went away somehow. And like you said, they're still there. You know, the thoughts are still there. The feelings are still mm-hmm. there. And to have somebody to side with your ideas and to have somebody side with your kind of perception of reality and the way things should be gives you that boldness to later to speak up and say, hey, why aren't y'all speaking English in here in the grocery store? This is America. You speaking Spanish? No, 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 not in front of me, not here in this place. You know, it's like now these things are a little bit more comfortable to do. Mm-hmm. If you want to dust that KKK uniform off, take it out the cleaners, get it out the dry clean. Hey, do it. The time is now.
The time is now.
Because Trump sent
these
people.
It might not fit no more.
Trump sent these people in droves to the polls, right? Mm-hmm. And they got his vote. And those are the people who have sat back and taken integration, have taken these cultural inclusion type activities all on the chin, like, okay, you know mm-hmm. what, America's changing, everybody's, you know, kind of going with this new way of life, let's get on board. But now you got this cat to come back and say, no, let's make America great again.
Yeah,
let's get these
I don't want to say the words they use, but yeah. Let's get these other people out of here and make America the way we want it to be again.
Well, you know, I couldn't agree more, folks. We are diving more into this idea of the rise of Trumpism. You know, what has his presidency revealed about American history? We're going to do that, folks, right after our break. We will be right back.
This is Josh K.
And I am Leah Marie.
And when we listen to podcasts, we always listen to
One Mic, One Voice.
You can change the world, it's your choice.
Your choice.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. You know what? Not only do we have Jamie in the studio, but also we have on the line Nikki Miller. Now, let me just say this before Nikki pipes in. Let me say this. Nikki is as well, a very socially conscious person. She is in pre-med school at, I believe at Baylor. She's also, a model. If you ain't checked her website out, you need to. Her and my daughter have that same thing going and going together. But, you know, we wanted to bring Nikki back on because, prior to the election, even before, you know, One Mic got introduced to her. Nikki was just talking about, I think, some very important issues. And I think her worldview is one that's in sync with everyone sitting at this table. But I wanted to bring her back on just to say, what are your thoughts about the ascension of Donald Trump and what are your strategies moving forward? So, Nikki, welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show.
Hello, it's good to be back.
Well, we're glad to have you. So talk a little bit about what you've been up to.
Well, honestly, it's the holidays, so I've been working nonstop, very busy. Wow. But now that the holidays are over, I'm focusing on graduate school.
Gotcha. Right. Gotcha. Wonderful. Yeah, education is the key, right?
Yes, it's very much so.
It's the key. So talk a little bit about you know, what was the night of the election? Because we kind of messaged a little bit. Talk something about your impressions.
Man, that was a scary night. Well, before the numbers were popping up on the TV, I had total faith in our country. I really just thought that experience in a political field would outweigh some crazy, loud man ranting about, you know, just random things that he felt. But apparently his rhetoric worked a lot better than I was suspecting. And I'm a little sad and a little shocked. But I mean, to say now after everything has, you know, we see now that he is our next president, to say something like, I hope that he fails, would be saying that I hope the guy driving the car that I'm in crashes. Like, I hope he does a good job. I hope he can make us a better nation. I don't know how he's going to do it. I haven't seen any policies that I would suspect would bring us closer to that. But I hope that people around him can influence him to be a good leader. But, I mean, right now it's kind of up in the air.
I mean, you bring up such a great point in that for us to sit here and say we want him to fail is like voting in our own against our own interests, right? We want a successful president, but I agree with you. All the signs, everyone he's chosen. I mean, Steve Bannon character. And this what's her name? The special counsel to him now, the female, y'all know who I'm talking about. Y'all can see her face right now, but she, I just think none of the signs point to anything that would make our country move in the same direction that it's been moving in and to bring us together the collective body. So it's like this, it's really this oxymoron, right? That we sit in and figure out, well, how do we support? But when this guy is like bringing races into his cabinet, you know, how do you not only digest this, but have some sort of hope moving forward?
Well, overall, he may be the president of the United States, the future president, but he doesn't control what I can do per se. I can still be loving towards everybody that I meet. I can still be understanding. I can still be accepting. Just because one man has moved into a position of power doesn't mean that I am now powerless. And as unfortunate as it may be that somebody in possibly the most important seat of power in the world has these views towards other people and is so good at getting people to listen to him and do what he wants, and he's preaching things that make others feel isolated and make people feel unwanted in their own home countries, and some even fearful for their lives. Even though there's a scary man sitting at the top of the ladder, I'm still down here helping those around me. And I feel like as long as the community who does oppose him per se and still doesn't agree with his rhetoric, we can still do things while he does his thing. As far as hope, that's what I'm hopeful for, that just because he has moved into his own position of power, it doesn't necessarily mean that all of us who have been trying to keep this country moving forward, it doesn't mean that we are now out of our positions. We are still where we are. We can still go to school. We can still educate others. We can still be kind to others. But, I mean, yeah, it's obviously very scary when the person who might be calling the shots isn't exactly the kind of person you want to.
I just wrote down what you said, and I'm probably going to quote it. Just because Trump sits in the seat of power, we are not powerless. I mean, that is profound in itself. This idea that we still have power, Jamie. I mean, we still can be kind. We still can volunteer. We still can continue our lives and not feel like it's all over just because this guy has been put in this position. Maybe that's where the gem is in us continuing to stay in the struggle and do what we do each and every day, regardless of who sits in the White House. And, you know, you kind of remind me of, you know, Vaclav Havel. I don't know if you know of Vaclav Havel. He was the president of Czechoslovakia under communistic rule. Matter of fact, he was put into prison and so forth. And he came up with this idea, and this is something that we're going to talk about on this show in the future, living in the truth. And his concept was, although you have this repressive regime, you still can live in the truth of who you are and what you are, and your culture eventually will break that repressive regime. And we saw the fall of communism. And maybe what Nikki's talking about here today and what we're talking about, maybe this idea of maintaining and living in the truth and continue to do what we do, that it doesn't matter. It just doesn't. Well, I'll say that, but we're going to find out later on in the show the amount of power that he has to make changes judicially and in other areas that will matter in our country. But I think on the sociological level, we can maintain who we are and what we are. Does that make sense, Nikki?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think Jamie said it best earlier, you know, when she put together her project, you know, she wanted everybody to know that, and I quote, we all aren't screwed, okay? There are still people who are out there reaching for the community, reaching for togetherness, reaching for unity, and reaching to be everything they've been before Trump was in existence. So for those people to come together will make a strong stance against whatever else that's on the outside of that. And Jamie, I'm sorry for using your quote, but I mean, it makes me think, you know, but for those people who aren't screwed, who will be affected by the Trump administration, the people who are not deciding to think that there's hope for them, or to not decide that for them there's something greater than the influence that Trump has now that he's in office.
Yeah, I think to kind of touch on what Nikki's saying and what I hear in all this, it's the topic of the show. It's going to be very crucial with all of like what Nikki just said to maintain our momentum.
Yeah.
Continue to stay involved, continue to take action, continue to peaceful protest, like maintain the momentum.
Yeah.
Like, let's not let it. And it reminds me what you said earlier, DT, about like kids being influenced by this leader. Like, we have to maintain our momentum in order to not let that happen.
Yeah.
And in order to not let that influence come back.
Yeah.
To the majority, to our mainstream now. So
yeah, maintaining the momentum. And Nikki, in the days to come, we got the inauguration coming up here in 2.5 weeks. I mean, it's like crazy. It's like something's going, you know, like everybody's waiting for something like miraculous to happen, right? But given that he is the president, you know, what are your concerns that, when he moves into office, do you have any immediate concerns that come to mind?
Oh, I have plenty. but some of my immediate concerns is that I don't know how to say this the way that I'm trying to word it. I'm concerned that he gives an immediate stage to groups like neo-Nazis and the alt-right. I'm fearful that these types of groups get more coverage through the media and more time on, you know, things like radio and TV. And I just don't like the idea that these people who support Trump, because they support Trump, now they're associated with Trump. And now that Trump is the elected president, they too are getting a piece of his spotlight. And I don't like groups that spread hatred or nationalism to an extreme where others feel rejected. I don't like that. And I feel like Trump is very good at deflecting the problems that he creates with his own rhetoric towards groups like this. When the KKK leader supported him, or ex-KKK leader, he said, "I don't know anything about that." But he did. He does know who that is. He does know what he said and that he supported Trump himself. And whenever he had rallies before, you know, we found out he was the president-elect, he had rallies and there would be people who were violent towards protesters who were simply just stating, you know, how they felt, First Amendment right to peacefully protest, to speak their mind. And they were being assaulted. And his response was, "I have passionate followers." That's not passion, that's violence. And so I feel like his rhetoric is scary because it gives people who otherwise we would have cast to the side and we would have said, "We don't want to hear any of that. That's violent. That's vulgar. That's not what this country is about." Now, all of a sudden, for some reason, these people feel like they're welcome to just say that they feel like other people are under them, lesser than them, aren't welcome here. And that just terrifies me, because that's when a huge division starts between people. That's when people start to get violent towards each other. And that's when people start to almost create their own type of gang. Like, it's us versus them. If they're here, then we're not, and we have to kick them out.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more with everything that you said. I think the next 4 years, from a not necessarily from a personal, but from a political standpoint, it will be the most challenging years of my life. I've been in this struggle for a very long time. Unfortunately, the longer you live, the more you struggle. So. I've been in this for quite some time, and it is concerning that we have a man that breathes life into these very groups that you talked about. And, you know, as always, Nikki, it is a pleasure to have you on One Mic, One Voice. You know, I'm looking at Jamie here, and I'm looking forward to the day where I can look over in that chair and see Nikki Miller. Huh. So, you know, when you get back to Oklahoma City, you definitely going to have to stop by Blacken Studios, because we love to have you present on the mic. And I think Jamie can attest that the experience is heavenly.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I hear music playing when I walk in here. Like twinkling.
Twinkling when you walk in here. But Nikki, thank you so much for taking time out to be with us tonight. And we just wish you, as always, the best of luck in everything that you do. Keep up the fight. You know, we support you, and we look forward to talking to you real soon here in the future.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me, and I would love to come back anytime.
All right. Thank you, Nikki. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Roxy Davis.
And this is Deborah Burris. And we are
the Roxy by Design Show. Our show is designed to bring healing as we share our stories while God redesigns our lives.
So take a ride with us.
So you can find us at
Podbean, iTunes,
Facebook, and Twitter.
And
BlackenStudios.com. So thank you, everyone, for listening to the Roxy by Design Show. You have a blessed day.
We love you.
This is DT of the One Mic, One Voice podcast. Just want to let you guys know you can go over to iTunes and search us at One Mic, One Voice, and be sure to rate and review our episodes. Let us know about any feedback that you have and what you enjoy about the episodes. Also, you can go over to Stitcher, where you can get the latest and freshest episodes of our podcast streamed directly to your smartphone or iPad. No downloading or syncing. How cool? Real smooth. Also, we'd just like to take the time to thank you for your time and for your energy and for spending time with us as we discuss the historical record of our time.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Man, I love having Nikki on. You know, I mean, Nikki brings so much. Again, I think she's a young person that brings just a lot of passion and
so in tune for a young person.
She is, man. I mean, she, when I was her age, man, I was, you know, I don't even say what I was doing.
Selling drugs and sagging.
I was locked up.
Sagging, yeah.
I was in San Quentin.
Rikers Island.
Rikers Island. I was in all of them.
Fighting a case.
see what happens here.
My favorite part's the sagging.
Michael's sagging.
Just sagging.
He was sagging the suits. Sagging. Oh, boy, you crazy. Hey, man, pull up your pants,
pull up your suit pants. Oh, God. So listen, folks. Okay, we have lost with the rise of Trumpism. What have we lost? Civility, intellectualism, fact versus fiction.
Fake news, right?
Statesmanship. I mean, we've lost a great deal, right? Man, I don't, you know, that list right there is, we could speak on that for weeks, Jamie.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. We have lost all of those things. I'm not going to include me or us in that. When I see this list, I think about it, and you're referring to like the people that we discussed earlier now been given this platform, as Nikki says, and this permission to be hateful. They've been enabled to do that. However, like, I'm going to kind of switch this on you a little bit. Like, when I see the civility, intellectualism, and fact versus fiction and statesmanship, I think about my own responsibility in this. Yeah. It's very easy for me to want to, like, you know, I've dealt with all the emotions of this election, the anger, the sadness, all of that. It would be very easy for me to want to be like, screw you guys, don't want any part of you, and put myself over here. Mm-hmm. However, it's my responsibility to attain, as infuriating as it can be sometimes, as frustrating as me, attain a certain civility. And within an intellectualism and be able to, like, make sure that I, you know, keep up with, you know, what's going on so that I can offer facts and hopefully communicate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to go this route with this, but for me, I have to think about like my response to people. Let's say someone comes up to me and I like to use this as an example because I deal with it all the time. Someone comes up to me and says, that's gay, like in a negative way. Like I'm in a position to, in a civil way, explain, you know, when you say that, this is what you're doing. You're using it in a negative connotation and you're, you know, offending an entire community, LGBTQ community. Their response after that is not up to me, but I might be able to plant a seed.
Yeah.
And create some awareness and maybe they'll walk away from that and be changed. So when I look at these, the civility, intellectualism, back versus fiction, I have to think about my own responsibility and what I can do. And it's not always easy, especially right now when it's very easy to feel deflated. You know, and you talk about the statesmanship. I was having to think about this quite a bit earlier and what that means to me. Like all these things like mean something different, like statesmanship, like, you know, being American, what that means, it means something different for us than it does for, you know, Trump supporters, right? They're screaming, bring America back to what it was. For me, America is progressing. You know, like to be able to see a black president, that's the America I want to live in, you know? And to touch on that, on own personal level, let's say this, if I were to, after the results of this election, if I were to just throw in the towel and be like, we're all screwed. And I'm just not going to do anything.
But according to your quote, we're not all screwed.
Exactly. So. But if I took on that, like, that emotion of feeling deflated and like, oh, we can't, like, nothing's going to happen. That's not me, like, doing anything. So for me, the statesmanship is with all the frustration and like, you know, sometimes feelings of hopelessness, I choose to take action and continue to take action and continue to like stay upbeat with that momentum. Mm-hmm. Because back to what we were saying earlier, not everybody, there are plenty of people that are not on board with this whole Trump thing. And yeah, DT, I don't think we're screwed. I really don't. Like I still deal with anger. I still deal with the hopelessness. Like, and I think those are all natural feelings that we have in this process because it is a very scary thing that's happening and I take it very seriously. But somewhere underneath all this, I still have a ton of hope. You know, like you guys give me hope. Like, there's people that I surround myself, the millions and millions and millions of people that voted for Hillary. Like that gives me hope. You know, it's like those stats are there. So. I don't know. It's up to me to take on the responsibility of, you know, trying to create awareness with civility and intellectualism and facts. And that's like my statesmanship. Yeah. Show up and
absolutely.
Be active in that.
Yeah. I love it, man. I you know, you're kind of helping us refocus and because we, you know, we've been hammering Trump quite a bit here.
Michael has.
And
you should hammer Trump. Listen, you should.
Michael has.
But I think there's something to, there's something to transitioning from the emphasis on Trump and the emphasis on the individual as well as the community, right? So somehow trying to strike a balance between holding him accountable and also continuing our momentum. And, you know, I just think we're going to be challenged. I mean, when we move on, we talk about what has Trump's presidency revealed about American history. We're doing a 3-part series now on nationalism. We're going to be finishing up part 3 on that. But the sexism, I mean, the white male domination of our culture, we talk about being xenophobic and racism and greed. I mean, but these have always existed in American society. But I think, you know, with this, yes, we can, with President Obama gave us so much hope that we had risen above that. But the reality is the undercurrent
still there.
Oh, we're still there, man. I mean, the people were still there. They didn't vote. They didn't come out. you know, maybe they were in just as much agony as we are right now. But that's an element that exists in American history. So we can't deny that. We have to deal with that. And so the question is, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with the anger, the bigotry, the racism, the discrimination? How do we deal with that moving forward? I know how we dealt with it in the past. We marched, we, you know, protested, we did all these things. And maybe some of that is still, but how do we deal with that? I guess, Jamie, how do we deal with that when the man that's seated in the seat of Pharaoh is a racist, xenophobic?
Mike, let me take it back to our first intellectualism and fact versus fiction, right? In the last episode, you talked about there being news coming out that people are now paid for. That is not true. Mm-hmm. Now, whether it's true or not, it's, yeah, you know, up to them. But as long as they're getting that check to put the information out, it's about who's first. And Denzel Washington talked mm-hmm. about this mm-hmm. in some recent posts that I've seen.
Yeah.
So even people who are drawn to news that is not real and feeding into it mm-hmm. is a problem. You know, so even if I have ideas about, you know, where America stands as a country, who the leader's going to be, what's going on in general, I have to first decipher whether or not this news is real mm-hmm. and then make my decision from there. But now there are a lot of, you know, instances where you come upon articles, you come upon, you know, media and other things that are showing you fake stuff, but people are buying into it so much that it's like, damn, you know, how do we control that part for, you know, fact versus intellectualism? Dr. Ketchum talked about there being an absence of expert knowledge and people not taking that as what it is, as something real, as something true. And, you know, Trump coming out and saying, well, you know, Russia had nothing to do with the election turnout. Is that intellectualism? You know, no. Is that fact checking? Is that
foolery?
Exactly. And so for him to be somebody in the position, you know, as Jamie said, of high power, like, you have to be getting your facts from the right place mm-hmm. and have to be, you know, being an example of people who mm-hmm. are also looking for real information mm-hmm. and getting it out there in a fair way. Otherwise, you know, every 5 minutes we're getting some bullcrap news that is not even close to what's really happening.
Absolutely. Folks, I couldn't agree more with DT and his summation of all of this. It's real, man. It's powerful. It's, you know, people are seeking news that buttress their own views. Mm. Whether it's truth has nothing to do with it. Just feed me something that reinforces how I want to see the world.
Yeah.
That's it.
And there are so many more resources, like, you know, like fiction writers just use their mind, right? And they put all of that information in their mind, they write fiction. And now we have, you know, so many more resources that can add even more, you know, lies and fiction to whatever it is, you know, a YouTube video post, post on Facebook or whatever. But there are so many even more resources now that can contribute to you telling a story or telling a lie to people who are willing to listen to that and believe that.
You know, the thing about it, you know, tell me a lie, and as long as it support what I believe, I'm good. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? No longer are we critical thinkers and seeking truth and fact checking before we go into the forefront. I mean, when we think about what gains have we lost? Equality, women's rights, constitutional rights, social programs that are under attack right now, education, environment. I mean, these guys don't even believe that global warming right. even exists.
Like the world gonna last
forever.
Just
well,
keep let's doing talk, whatever let's you talk want
about,
to it.
Let's talk about education, because it is so critical in our day and time where our young people, ever since Reaganomics with the cuts in education, what's gonna happen? This person that Trump has
Betsy DeVos.
Yeah. Hey, talk a little bit about that, Jay.
Betsy DeVos, Michigan. He wants to appoint her the Secretary of Education, and she's already gotten like $50,000 in, you know, money and support from a couple of other Republicans, but she has a charter school, I believe, and it's like centered around aviation, I think. But his his whole idea of education of reform is this whole like free choice, like free like being able to choose which school you want to. And what Trump has done is he's fed it into the minds of his voters that he's going to change the education system and offer kids these like make them think that they can choose wherever they want to go. Right. So that includes private schools, charter schools. Right. So we have the public school system. Right. So the reality of that is that's not true. What ends up happening is he wants to like send out, I think they're called vouchers or they're these $12,000 like vouchers. And what it will do, because education works on a state level, as we all know, and we pay taxes within our state in order to support a public school system, and the money goes to, certain amount of money goes to each kid. What he wants to do, involving her, Betsy DeVos, is interrupt that and come in and be able to, in like some sort of like lottery system, if a kid applies, a family applies for a kid to have the opportunity to go to a prep school, he wants to, in a lottery system, be pick which ones get to go. The problem with that is it's not that you can go to prep school. That's not a bad thing. Problem with that is you take all that money that's supposed to go to the public school system and you give it. Again, a kid doesn't need $12,000 to go to school. You give it to this kid. It ends up like being worth two kids almost. And you take away from that money that would otherwise go into the public school system. And all those kids that weren't like chosen in this whole quote unquote lottery system are left in those public schools with less curriculum, less teachers, fuller classrooms. And it's a disaster. And people like Betsy DeVos and him are benefiting financially. Yeah. So. Yeah, that's where I'm at up today on that one.
It's almost like the death of public education.
Education,
right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the potential, folks, that you have to understand. And you know what's so shocking?
What's shocking, Mike? Tell me.
I'm
going to
tell you what's shocking. You know, as Jamie was talking, what's so shocking is that these rural voters that voted for him, how many charter schools are in the rural areas? They're public schools. There's no charter schools. So the cities have charter schools, which Hillary Clinton, Secretary Clinton carried, right? I mean, it's ironic that these people vote to end for their own demise. It's like there's no.
They vote against their interest, huh?
There's no charter schools. Rarely do you see a charter school in rural areas where he got a lot of his support from. And, you know, I believe in public education. Everybody can afford to go to a charter school. And I think using government dollars to support that is detrimental to the public school. Our public schools are already suffering. Don't have any money to begin with. And so you're going to take those out. It's like he's electing, or I should say he is bringing into all of these positions people that are anti the organization. I mean, it's like the you know, Scott Pruitt, right? The attorney general of Oklahoma, right? He's like sued the EPA, but let me put him in charge of the EPA.
Yes.
You know, it's like, well, who does that, right? I mean, like, she's anti-public schools, so let me put her in charge of public schools, right? It's like this dude is sitting up there.
Maybe
like,
it'll change her mind. Honey,
I can do anything.
And she has no experience in it. So.
Exactly. So. Everybody he chooses. Experience is not the key. Like, I want somebody that doesn't know what the hell they're doing.
Well, but think about him in position to be president, right? You're saying the same thing about him.
Well, I don't have any experience, so why should anybody else need experience, right? I'm the Donald. Come I make deals. Yeah. Right? It's going to be great. Yeah. It's going to be wonderful.
All my people are working on it. Okay, right. We got the best minds, got the best scientists. Yeah. All right.
Right. You got your Saturday Night Live skit going here. It's too easy.
but in closing, though, let's talk about, you know, how do we survive a Trump administration? I mean, because, you know, the challenges are well known. I think, you know, from healthcare to the environment and so forth, education, the social programs. But how do we, and Nikki talked a little bit about continuing to do the things that we do, but I'm talking about on a personal level, me looking at myself in the mirror. How do I survive a Trump administration? For the listener, how do listener all over this country, we got 8,000 listeners, how 18,000 listeners, how do they survive though? That's my question.
I think we,
I kind of feel like we've answered the question, but I mean, to me, everything is a mentality, you know? So if I feel defeated, if I feel like something on the outside of myself control the inner me, you know, it's like, I'm going to let that rule my day, mm-hmm. let that rule my life. But as Jamie said, as Nikki said, there are people right now who have been on the right side of things, you know, who have been trying to push for, you know, a more progressive way of living for everybody. And the people who are in that space and that mental space will continue to do that regardless of what everybody else is saying, who's the president, who, you know, whose mama got choked out or whatever. You know, it's like, I'm going to keep being me. And I think that's just, if you're not in that mental space, then this is where the question come in. How do we get them to that place?
Yeah.
You know, how do you get somebody who's feeling so scared and you know, still in shock and trauma about this presidential election out of that state of mind, you know, and to feel in some hopefulness or to feel in some type of way that they can achieve and accomplish through this new system that we're going to be under.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we kind of answered it earlier. Like, I think a lot about, you know, we talked about this on our past shows, continuing to have conversations. You know, just on an individual level, starting there, like confront someone if you like feel an injustice is being had. Mm-hmm. Like talk about these things, have these discussions. Don't be afraid to, you know, keep writing your senators and you know, making the phone calls and all that. It's like it's very, very, very important to not stop.
Yeah.
To not stop what we're doing.
Yeah.
And if you're one of those good people out there, you know, pass your spirit on to somebody else. You know, there are other people who need that connection, who need to make that type of, you know, feel with another person who's thinking clearly in their life, you know.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, make that connection, pass that wisdom and that knowledge on, and don't stop. I mean, I think it's easy, right? You know, I felt defeated. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. I mean, I was like, dude, this is like, I just felt like, you know, there was no way, you know, and Jamie, you said this earlier, and I think Nikki, you know, kind of commented on it, that experience and knowledge. And I just thought, no way. The American people are too smart to put this guy in office. And when it happened, and really, to be honest with you, to get down to the brass tacks, and folks, if you listen to this show, you can get mad with me. I don't care. If you didn't vote, shut up. When you get down to the brass tacks, the 42% of Americans did not vote. That's sickening to me. And if you are a minority, the price that it took to get you to vote and you didn't vote, that's sick to me. So I'm going to say to you, you know what? I was defeated because I never thought that some person like this, it's sick. You know, to me, it's almost a defamation of the office of presidency in the modern era to have someone with the knowledge that we have now, with the openness we have now, with the knowledge of different cultures that we place into office, a bigot, a racist, a misogynist, a sexist. It's beyond me that we have done that, but we've done it. But I'm here to tell you, I got plenty of fight in me. I'm gonna keep it real. You know, matter of fact, I was born to fight. Yeah. So I mean,
never stop posting. So you're helping me. You feel defeated, but you're still helping me. You know, it's like.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate it.
And then, Mike, you know, like that's a small victory. She just revealed to you because even though you feel some type of way, there are things that you're doing that are helping people grow, and you don't even know it. You know.
Let me tell you something in closing. And man, I have to say to you, I love having Jamie on this show. Having her sit in the studio has been like, you know, has been, I would say, a truly pleasurable experience. I had a guy the other day, black guy. Y'all probably didn't see this because I had to delete his post. he said he voted for Trump. And so I was like, how can you possibly vote for Trump when this guy stands for everything that you, that would benefit you? So we got into this discussion, and this dude said to me, DT, your mother was a whore.
Oh, really? Huh? Just
been that thing. And you know, and to me, like, he didn't understand that you guys know my mother passed in 2003. Mm-hmm. Was my best friend. And for him to take that line of reasoning to me, when I'm debating with you about a topic, that's what we're up against, brother.
It's just like back in the day, you know, you run out of creative things to say, or your argument not working to your side, but your mama. That's what that sounded like.
And you know, and the thing about all I said to him, I said, you know what? My mother was loved by her community. She was an activist. She gave off, she fed the hungry. She gave clothes away. She labored in her community until she died of cancer. Thank you. This is the woman you speak about. If this is your mentality, if this is the people that we're dealing with, God help America. Because as Dick Gregory said, Roland Martin asked Dick Gregory, what should we do now? You know Dick Gregory, the famous activist. He said, it's over. There's nothing you can do. We were never part of government. Now, I don't want to leave you with Dick Gregory because I feel much more, I think, optimistic than the elder statesman. But what I will say is, folks, we are facing trying times, and we have to come together and coalesce among one another in order to strengthen us, because the battle is difficult. The battle is difficult. And at One Mic, One Voice, we're here weekly to encourage you and try to bring you along, but we're not going to deceive you and lie to you and to say that it's going to be easy. It's never going to be easy. But in the end, I believe we will prevail. Last words, I have to give, because we got Jamie in the studio, so I got to give her the last word. What do you think?
Which part?
Any part.
I'll just repeat myself here. It's very easy, very valid reason to feel deflated and defeated. Like I said, I take this very seriously. This is a setback, but I'm not going to stop. And I hope that this is just that last stand of this,
it's interesting.
I hope this is that last stand of that kind of anger and hate, and something shifts and more people wake up. Can't change everybody, but that's like on my agenda, is like by saying, like, having these conversations with people and hoping to change minds, or posting on Facebook, whatever I gotta do, I'm hoping something shifts, because he's not gonna be able to deliver, not even to the people that voted for him.
Yeah.
Like education, for example, because people don't even understand what they voted for there. Yeah. So I hope that within this, our civil messages, like us, our intellectualism that we offer to people who otherwise don't know, that we can create some sort of shift. And this is the last stand of that. Yeah. I really do have hope. Sometimes I feel very screwed, but I know that I can't stop.
You know, I love that, the last stand. Mm-hmm. I mean, that, you know, maybe that's what we're dealing with. The last.
Bringing it to a new perspective.
Yeah, last effort, the last ditch effort for white supremacy. And if we stand against it, it will fail. But I'm going to challenge Jamie to, like, do something for Black in Studio with her artistry, you know, like kind of maybe, you know, paint me and DT. You know what I mean? And then we can put it up in the studio. So I'm going to put that out there. We paying too. So I'm going
to
put that out there.
I would love to
do that. I think that would be wonderful. You know,
what about Richard?
Yeah, we're gonna throw Richard. We need to throw Richard in there as well. You know, listen, folks, surround yourself with like-minded people. Join an organization fighting for change. Give money to an organization if you can't get involved. Befriend others outside of your comfort zone and mentor and educate young people. As Nikki Miller said, just because Trump sits in the seat of power does not mean we are powerless. History will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time. And what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we solved nothing and remain a divided peoples? Yes, history will speak of us.
We can make a difference if we try. We can be the change that's in our lives. All we gotta do is work together. We gotta raise our children better. We gotta stop the hate, and spread the love.
One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blackened Studios. To learn more about Blackened Studios, please visit them at blackenedstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blackened Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blackened Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.